Mr. Smith, reel three.
They got a bit panicky, so I put the cigarette out. It was wet, so not much spark from that. And I realised you wouldn't get any rest down there, so I got out the small hole and let him get down there. And there was firing going on. And then we had orders to start retreating again. And I don't remember where we went from there, but we were going down the road and the NCO said, right, number one and two in the house, up in the... The house was empty of people, but the furniture was still there, but we was put up there in the room. And I remember quite distinctly that I looked out the window and it seemed strange to me to see an observation balloon of the Germans.
Was
and the NCO said, when he left us, we're in our position, he said, I'll blow on me whistle. Anyway, we never heard the whistle to come down the stairs and rejoin our section or platoon. And we hadn't been in this house very long. We had our brain gun poking out the window. And all of a sudden, a barrage of mortar bombs come over and took half the roof off. And some of it fell on top of us, not heavy stuff, but the ceiling part. So we done no more and down the stairs and up the road and join the platoon again. And we kept marching for a tidy while that time, and when it got dark, Lieutenant Colonel explained to us what happened to him in the First World War. He said, what I don't want you to do is be taken prisoner, he said, but I've had my experience of it, and he was a good officer as far as I was concerned. But some of the chaps was so tired out that I think they he kept on urging them on to carry on. This was at night time, but I think some of them were so tired out they just sat on the roadside. But whether they got took prisoners of war or not, I don't know.
How far behind you were the Germans, did you know?
Not all that far at times. Some of them pretty close, but that's the only recollection I've at that time to say that he spotted the Germans was that observation balloon was up there. It seemed pretty, well, I know it's a war on, but it seemed pretty comical. They used to use them in the First World War, but he was observation our positions.
Did anybody try to shoot the balloon down?
No, too far away. You could see it quite well in the distance.
Could you see the Germans in it?
I've got a slight recollection there. There's two of them in it. But our brain guns might have reached them, but then you was giving your own position away because we weren't being fired at then until these shower of mortar bombs come over. There's no good trying to defend anything when you was getting showered with these mortar bombs. Sometimes it's a four-barrel mortar bomb, sometimes it's six barrels. And pretty devastating they were.
Earlier on, you said when you first came into contact with the Germans and you were giving that covering fire, did you see the Germans then?
No, not really. No. What was happening there was each regiment was leapfrogging the other. I think that was the instructions from the generals who were in charge. Yeah, they seem to be leapfrogging over one another. Until he was gradually getting back. We marched through Brussels again. Seems a funny story, but we went up that way and we come back that way. Then we made our way to, I think we were diverted around to Lille, Bethune, and then Arras. Then we were getting bombed pretty heavy then. And we talked to make our way back to, well, they didn't actually say make your way back to Dunkirk. It's a bit confusing, but there was no panic or anything. But when we nearly, I think we was about 8 miles from Dunkirk, and we thought, oh, well, we're on our way. But what happened, I don't know how many regiments were detailed off or how many platoons, but we detailed off to counter-attack. So instead of going down to Dunkirk, we went back to where we come from.
Where was this counter-attack?
Oh, I don't actually know the name of the place. But it didn't last long.
Can you describe the counter-attack?
Well, we had, in my platoon, we had one section on the left, and my section was on the right. There was 10 in a section. And we were going up the line again, and once again we got attacked by the mortar barrage. And 10 in my section, was 3 of us survived. And the 10 on the left, the other section, they all got wiped out. So that left 3 of us out of our section. So then we joined up to sort ourselves out and joined up with the rest of the platoon or company. But the look on it back now, I was fortunate I was in the front, being a number one friend gunner. Then my number two, he was just behind me. And the chap behind him, he escaped, and the last man escaped. So that was 3 of us got out there. 3 out of 10 that got saved.
Were any of you 3 injured?
Well, I forgot to mention that in there. I got wounded in Belgium. In the backside and in the hip. Slight wounds, shrapnel.
How did that come about?
That was by mortar bombs again. I should have said it before, but I got sent down to the field dressing station in Belgium. And they were just going to put me on the table to get this shrapnel out, and the message come through, everybody evacuate. And the walking wounded go back to the units. So I rejoined the unit. Just had the field dressing on the hip and the backside. Wasn't all that so severe, but it was enough to know you had it.
So when you made this counter-attack, was it the whole of the Hampshire battalion that was attacking?
Well, I couldn't say. You see, you're so spread out, because you get actually in a battalion, you should have in them days, it used to be 1,001. But it very seldom it was more than 800 troops, so you spread out along the line.
But which particular company and platoon were you in?
I was in Y Company. in the 2nd Battalion.
Can you remember the platoon you were in?
I never used to take much notes of it, to be true.
So, when you made the counter-attack, how far forward did your section move?
Well, I should say 2 or 3 miles. Not much further than that, if it was further.
On foot?
All on foot. I never had a ride in any lorry all the time I was out in France or Belgium. I marched all the way from the Ardennes right down to Dunkirk. And all the others, all on foot.
What type of country were you crossing when you counterattacked?
Farms, forest. When we counterattacked, we was going up between, there was trees on either side, so we was going along on the ditches.
Along the bottom of the ditches?
Yeah, but the Germans must have spotted us to send the Paragon mortars over. And one chap I served out in India with, were nearly all ex-Indian troops then, and he was carrying a boy's anti-tank rifle with a blast. Caught him because it was a long-barreled gun. We didn't think much of its capacity. But the barrel wrapped around and took his head right off. We saw him as it got to daybreak, but all his 9 comrades of his all splattered about.
How accurate was the German mortaring?
Very accurate. Yeah, very accurate.
On this counterattack, did you actually get to see the Germans?
No. No, we didn't get that far because our 2 sections, well, there was only 3 of us left and the other section got wiped out. But where the other part of the battalion was at that time or companies, I don't know. Maybe it was around that area somewhere.
So on the counterattack, did you have a chance to open fire on the Germans?
No. No, then we was told to retreat again. And made our way to Dunkirk.
Who was in?
We were being on fired on all the time. We was trying to get down there, but on the right flank and the left flank, they was taking punishment pretty heavy. So we must have been lucky for being in the middle. But it's such a vast area on battlefields. You don't know. Especially at night time, who's who and who's not.
Who was in command of your section when you counterattacked?
Only a Lance Corporal.
Who was he?
Oh, I can't think of his name now.
Was he one of the ones killed?
Yes, yeah.
So who took command of the 3 men who survived?
Well, you're just your own, might as well say your own governors. Because it wasn't long afterwards that we joined up with the rest of the company again. They'd lost a few, I don't know how many, but we made our way back and then we found ourselves in on the beaches at Dunkirk.
Can you describe what the scene was there?
It was pretty bad.
What did it look like?
Well, when we got there, there was hundreds or thousands of troops there. There was French, and but on our way back, the artillery, they were taking some stick. The Germans were sending over these shell bursts, where it burst over the top of the guns and badly wounded them, blinded them. But there was, I remember one battery there, they're spiking its guns, and the shell burst come over and that was the end of them.
Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that.
Did it wipe all of them out?
Yes, yeah. And we helped some of them down at, they must have been blinded or They had bandages around their eyes, so we helped them down on the beach. I don't know whether they ever got away or not. But we had 2.5 days on the beach, getting bombed and mortar bombs. So, tidy few of us crossed the road at Dunkirk, come off the beach and sought shelter in a cellar in a hotel. And when we got in there, somebody must have been upstairs and brought wine bottles down. There was plenty of food there. There was, I remember, a Frenchman there and 2 or 3 Polish soldiers. And I think there was some other nationality there anyway. We stopped in there for not quite a day, I suppose. Anyway, we had plenty of wine and eating. And I remember one of our lance corporals, I can't think of his name, come round and calling out any Hampshire regiment in there. So he's out the cellar like a shot, and he said, the last boat's here, destroyer. And I can't find the name, what it was. And everything was orderly, and we got the last destroyer out of Dunkirk. And that's the 4th and 5th of June. But what the name of it was, I don't know. I've asked a few people and they can't remember.
How did the officers behave at Dunkirk?
Well, I don't know whether I should say this or not to go down in history. But well, anyway, I'll say it, but if he's still alive, he might disapprove. But he got in a rowing boat and said that he was going to see if there's any room on the ship for us to either swim out or wade through the water, but somebody had different ideas and they got in the water and tipped the boat up.
What, because they thought he was deserting the troops?
Yeah, that was our theory, whether he was or not. But you wasn't allowed to wade in the water until you had permission. There was all them boats out there you could see out there, but you wasn't allowed to go in there. There was only so many at a time. There was no panic. You just took your turn and any room on the boat. And they detailed so many men up with different regiments.
So was this an officer from your regiment?
This was, yeah. But I won't mention his name.
When you
were... If he knew, he might dispute it. And I don't know whether Lance Court was still alive. Who tipped the boat over.
What happened after the boat was tipped over?
Well, he had to come back again. What happened to him, I don't know.
Did he reprimand the Lance Corporal?
No.
Whilst you were being bombed on the beach, was the German bombing very effective? Were many people being killed?
Oh, yes. But a lot of the bombs just hit the soft sand. And I remember one instance. There's a German plane come right along the beach. It seems strange to us. We weren't allowed to fire at it. Whether we'd have brought it down or not, I don't know, but it was pretty low. But the orders come out not to fire at it, whether the officer had some idea about giving positions away. Well, there was no position there because it was all lined up on the beach, so I think we'd have shot him down. Don't know.
Did you see much of the RAF?
Now and again. Because they was in different sectors, you see. They was trying to, support them in Cali and further inland.
Did the German planes seem to be more interested in attacking the troops on the beach or the ships out in the sea?
They didn't seem to go after the ships a lot out to sea. As far as I know, they did sink one of our destroyers come right in. I was reading an account of that the other day in some paper. It's a job to remember names all the time.
Did you see that destroyer sunk?
It was practically beached. It was a British destroyer. I thought it was French, but I remember it seeing it in the paper the other day, reading it. So.
How did the French and British troops get on with each other?
Well, I'm moving about so much, but I think whether the French actually knew what they were doing or there's too much interference, like they did in the First World War. I think they wanted to do it their way. And whether the commands were in good spirits with one another, I don't know.
Was there ever any hostility between the British and French troops?
Not as far as I know. There was just one incident in Belgium where they threw their arms down at Tournai. I think it was Tournai.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I was there.
Why did they throw their arms down?
And they didn't want the war. They started spitting. But we didn't retaliate.
They were spitting at the British troops?
Yeah. We didn't retaliate and let them get on with it. I'm pretty positive it was a Tournai.
Had they been under fire?
They might have been, because I don't know where they come from. Whether they've been right up on the hard end at the same time as us and got pushed back. But I don't say all the Belgian troops done that. I mean, some of them fought pretty hard.
Was that the French or the Belgian troops?
Belgians, that was.
Did they seem to be demoralised?
Yeah, I think they were.
Did the British troops say anything to them when they spat at them?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't retaliate. I mean, they're a different type of soldiers than what the British soldier was.
How do you mean?
They may have been call-ups and didn't want to go in the army.
How were they different troops from the British troops?
Well, we never had a lot of contact with them. I think that's about the only time we come in contact with them, whether they were conscripts, called up and didn't want to go in the army.
How did the conscripts perform who were with you? You've already mentioned the lad who panicked, but generally speaking, were they good soldiers or not?
Yes, I think they were. And the territorials were good troops. You hear some of them in the British Army. I've heard it when they've gone to reunion dinners. I haven't been to them, or I haven't heard it myself, but a friend of mine told me, oh, blooming territorials, they shouldn't be in here. Well, they've done their job the same as we did. They joined up before the war. And I always found them all right. I served with territorials and I served with conscripts and regular soldiers. I've been with a territorial bloke since 1941, and he worked his way up to a sergeant. But I found the conscripts and the territorials pretty good men.
Were they efficient as soldiers?
Yes, yeah. After their initial training, it seemed the conscripts seemed a bit lost at first, but once they got into the way of life, just same as what I was.
When you crossed on the destroyer, was the destroyer attacked by a German aircraft?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it was attacked. And there was, I think I remember rightly, I think it was one plane shot down. And the destroyer stopped and picked the pilot up. But I think a lot of the troops wanted to get hold of him, but he was pushed down by the Navy, so he must have gone down a ship somewhere. Because the destroyer was absolutely packed, jam-packed with troops. I think that was... They may have got a few more off afterwards, after we come away, I don't know. But we landed at Dover, and the train was all waiting there, and the women were there with sandwiches and cigarettes right along the station.
Was the German pilot who was captured ill-treated?
No, not as far as I know, he wasn't. No.
Did you see him?
Took him down below.
Did you see him picked up out of the water?
Yeah, they picked him up. They stopped the destroyer and picked him up. And they took him down below because the Navy was in charge.
Was he injured?
I couldn't say whether he's wounded or not.
Was he a fighter pilot or a bomber pilot or what?
A fighter pilot.
Do you know what kind of a plane he was?
I don't know whether the Bren guns brought him down or the Navy guns brought him down, but he was brought down. I remember that incident.
Did the troops cheer when he was hit?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Was it on the French side of the Channel or the English side of the Channel that he was hit?
Well, we weren't all that far out from Dunkirk.
Did you see any other...
happened.
Did you see any other German planes brought down?
Yes, I see one or two in France. Not a lot. How many brought down during the operation, I don't know.
The ones that you saw, were they at Dunkirk or before Dunkirk?
No, before.
Do you know?
Anti-aircraft fire.
So they were brought down by the Royal Artillery?
Yeah.
Do you know if your unit or you personally ever killed any Germans in the BF campaign?
Well, I couldn't say personally that I shot any. I fired a few rounds, but or a number of rounds, but whether it hit any Germans or not, I don't know.
At what stage did you realise that the battle for France had been lost?
I think it was after. I think it was after we left Belgium, because the German army is better equipped than the British army was, and when we had hardly any tanks, just light tanks. And I think one tank regiment served out in India the same time as I did. I think that was either the 4th. Tank regiment or the 7th, I don't know.
As far as the equipment of the infantry was concerned, did you feel that you had the right equipment?
Or no.
What could you have done with?
Well, you could have done with the equipment what the Germans had. Mortar batteries. I mean, we had a 2-inch mortar against their 6 and 8 inch. And when the 2-inch mortar bomb, it just dropped their 2-inch, and it's like, might as well say, dealing with a pea shooter. That's how I saw it.
Did you have enough Bren guns?
Yeah, they was well equipped, I think, with Bren guns, but they weren't much good against tanks. The infantry against infantry, really, Bren guns. We had the heavy artillery out there, but I think the Germans outweighed us, really.
What type of reception did you get from the population in England when you got back?
And it just so that start off with Dover, the women on the dunes. And I thought that was pretty good as they'd been bombed and shelled in between times.
Did people regard you as heroes, or did they blame you for losing, or what?
No, no.